Well, dilly gaff to you all, and it is time yet again for another roundup right here at the geeksofdoom.com, or should I say geeksofdoom.com without the. And this little podcast is where we get together and give you a bit of movies, bit of music, give you some previews of what's coming up on a couple of podcasts, and also talk about what's been going on at the site geeksofdoom.com. My name is Greg Davies, also known as CGT2099, and I am from the Social Blend podcast. And joining me from the Drill Down podcast is...
Andy Sarcini, and I'm known as Mr. Baby Man both on social networks and on here on Geeks of Doom. How you doing, Greg?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Look, I've got a question to throw out of you.
Yeah.
Throw at you in the middle of nowhere, because it has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
But it's been several months since the big changeover of Dig happened. And I was just thinking about this on the weekend, and I thought to myself, I have to ask Andy this on the roundup, because we haven't really spoken about it since the changeover happened. They were sold off, and they've got a completely different site now. Are you active anymore at Dig? What's your take on the new site, and where do you see them going?
Well, one of my the big problems that I have with the new site is there's no longer any sort of... there's no individual curation on the site at all. Like, you can't really tell who dug what story on the site. The stories are just kind of, it's like a news site formatted a la Pinterest.
Right.
But there's really no sort of indication that, you know, that someone is, has... That there are individual curators on the site, and to me that was the main thing that drew me to the original Dig.
Right.
If I can't be part of the curation team on the site, one of the members who are influencing what people see, then there's nothing in it for me.
Right. It's elimination of the community, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Which is unfortunate, because they had a great community there.
And, right. Oh, the nail in the coffin, I think, for me was our good friend McGill Lopez, otherwise known as MK Lopez, who was really well known at Dig. When Dig moved over to version 4, they were highly criticized for that. And it seemed to me that he was really one of the old guard that stuck around, that was still championing Dig and still participating. And then when this new changeover came over, the first thing he wrote about was, well, I guess Dig is dead to me now.
Wow.
And that was huge to me. I was like, wow, if McGill's saying that, then obviously there's something not right here. So,
right.
Anyway, totally off topic, but I wanted to ask you about it because I thought it would make for a bit of an interesting intro. We've got a couple of a bit of a crossover happening today on the roundup, because I've got an article from geeksofdoom.com that I'm going to talk about later on the show, specifically related to Bryan Singer, the director. Mm. And by sheer coincidence, we never pre-plan this stuff.
No,
we can go, and if there's any mystical majesty of planets aligning with common ground, it's purely by accident or chance, or perhaps it's psychic. I don't know. But Andy, your choice of trailer for this week is a Bryan Singer movie.
Yes, that's right. Jack the Giant Slayer, which is a new sort of direction for Bryan Singer. Usually does like these high adventure comic book or, you know, gritty thrillers, and this is almost aimed at maybe a younger audience. It's still like a high action, but it definitely feels like, well, I don't see anything here about the film's rating currently. It definitely feels like it's aimed toward a younger audience, like they're shooting for like a PG-13 perhaps. And it's basically a twist on the classic fable of Jack and the Beanstalk. And it stars some unknowns like Nicholas Holt and Eleanor Tomlinson, but also a cast of regulars, Ewan McGregor, Ian McShane.
Love Ian McShane.
Stanley Tucci. there's a couple others. Eddie Marson. Ewan Bremmer. And I could swear, though I don't see him listed in the credits, I could swear in this... in the trailer that you're about to see, that I hear the voice of
Ian McKellen.
No. I can't remember the guy's name. It's gonna kill me. Give me a second and I'll.
It's Gandalf and Magneto. It's most definitely Ian McKellen.
No. That's not the voice that I'm hearing. It's Bill Nighy. That's it. I definitely hear the voice of Bill Nighy in there. So I don't know if he's listed in the credits or not, but...
Bill Nye, the science guy?
No. Davy Jones from the Pirates of the Caribbean series.
Ah, gotcha.
And you'll hear, there's a very, very distinctive part where you'll hear what it sounds almost like Davy Jones, like Bill Nye is doing Davy Jones. It's, again, that kind of thick brogue that he had in that movie. Anyway...
Ian McKellen is at. You'll hear him talking at the start. That's most definitely Ian McKellen.
You're probably right. Yeah,
and it seems to be uncredited at this point. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked the wiki for it, but in the trailer pages that I'm looking at for this, I don't see his name mentioned anywhere. But Ian McKellen has been known to help out Bryan Singer and things. Yeah.
Yes. Well. You know, Magneto, that Magneto cred goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
All right, well, let's, without further ado, let's take a listen to the trailer for Jack the Giant Slayer. Or is it Jack the Giant Killer? Jack the Giant Slayer from director Bryan Singer.
Fee, fi, fo, fum. Ask not whence the thunder comes. For between heaven and earth is a perilous place, home to a fearsome giant race, who hunger to conquer the mortals below, waiting for the seeds of revenge to grow.
I saw your light and I'm lost.
What are you doing out in this nasty weather,
Your Highness?
These your books?
My father used to read that to me.
I like a good adventure.
I'm looking for an adventure of my own.
What? Am I dead?
Not just yet.
The legends are true.
Elmont, assemble a team of your best men.
Yes, sire.
Bring back my daughter.
Your Majesty, I want to volunteer.
What do you suppose is up there?
I never suppose. I simply prepare for everything.
At last, mankind have returned.
They're uglier than I remember.
My mission is to find and return the princess.
Tomorrow, you shall return below with me. As your new king.
Are you mad?
I'm talking to giants for a moment.
Jack, you're here.
I had this, Jack. I had this.
Are you ready, my brother?
Let's cut a few of them down to size, shall we?
Another way out of here.
Make everything sound so simple.
Simple farm boy.
Not at all.
Who are you?
It's Jack! Ready?
That worked out better than I expected.
All right. And it's going to be in 3D.
What'd you think?
It looks really interesting. I'm always interested in Bryan Singer's projects. I think he doesn't necessarily follow any sort of kind of you can't pin him down to any one type of movie, which I think is good. You know, he tends to dabble here and there, And it looks like something that I'm it would definitely be, you know, fun to take a younger kid to, you know, not too young, but it's exciting enough to stand on its own as an adult movie, but also I think it's geared toward a younger audience, feels like. What did you think?
I'm going to disagree with you completely. I don't think that this is suitable for adults in any context whatsoever. The original premise of Jack the Giant Slayer, when we were first told about the film, which is interesting because they keep changing the name from Giant Killer to Giant Slayer, you'll notice. The first trailer that came out last year, about this time last year, actually, the movie was called Jack the Giant Killer.
Sure.
It's now been renamed to Jack the Giant Slayer.
Slightly tamer way of saying killer.
Right, a little bit. But this is most definitely a kid's film, and I'll tell you why. It's absolutely horrible.
Oh.
It's awful. This is the worst POS that Bryan Singer has ever done.
Oh, my goodness.
I have absolutely zero interest in seeing this movie in the theaters. Now, I might check it out on Netflix if it eventually comes out, but I have no desire to see it whatsoever. Having said that, I will agree with you that this is most definitely a kid's film.
Yeah.
This looks like a great kid's film in the sense that it's very grand, very adventurous looking. Now, let me put a disclaimer on my opinion here. Yes, the movie's not out yet.
Yes.
And so I'm going to wait until I hear some actual reviews from on the ground before this movie comes out, before I make a final decision about this, because you might recall there's been several movies, especially in the last few years, that have had terrible, terrible promotion for them, where the trailers just make the movie look absolutely awful, but the movie turns out to be a great surprise. The most recent example I can think of is Dread.
Oh, yeah. I saw that movie.
Was superb.
I was surprised about that one, too. And I felt, I don't know if you saw it in 3D, but
yes.
Did you?
I believe I did, yes.
I have to say that it contained some of the most innovative sort of usage of the 3D effect in any of the movies that I've seen in recently.
The visual effects in that movie are absolutely stunning, and I'm not talking about the action boom, boom, explosion sequences. Yeah. I'm talking about the slow motion stuff that they did.
Sure.
is beautiful.
That slow-mo effect. You've got to see that movie in 3D to really appreciate what they've done there. So.
Mm-hmm. But it is a superb experience, and yet the trailers and the marketing for that made it look like the crappiest movie ever made.
Yeah, it really did.
Which is such a shame, because for me, Dread is the movie of the year. Content-wise and story-wise, it stands above and beyond any other superhero film that came out this year, including The Avengers and The Dark Knight Rises, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible movie, very underrated. And so it could well be the same situation here for poor old Bryan Singer with Jack the Giant Slayer. So, but my opinion based upon the trailer is that it's absolutely awful looking. You know, hopefully I get proven wrong. But even Mike Jaley, who posted the trailer at Geeks of Doom, his headline for this trailer reads, Jack the Giant Slayer, dull visuals abound in Bryan Singer's reimagined fantasy. So I'm not the only one that's feeling and thinking this way.
Well, everyone has a misstep, and by the way, I did a little research, and that was Bill Nighy as General Fallon doing the voice. The humans have returned. Let me ask you a question. Just a little off topic, but related. Did you ever see the Mockingbird Lane TV pilot that NBC aired? It was directed by Bryan Singer and written by Brian Fuller from Pushing Daisies.
No, the only Mockingbird Lane thing I can remember.
This is Bryan Singer's reimagined update of the Munsters.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, Mockingbird Lane is the street they live on. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a pilot. It was a failed pilot, but they decided to air it anyway because they put so much money in it. It starred Eddie Izzard as Grandpa Munster. Oh, he was terrific. And Portia de Rossi was Lily, and Herman was I can't remember his name, the guy from Sliders.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, Jerry O'Connell was Herman Munster. But just a terrific little pilot, and it's a shame that it didn't get picked up, because it would have been an interesting thing to see Brian Singer and Brian Fuller's take on the Munsters.
I'm not seeing it on Netflix, though, unfortunately. So
might still be on it might be on Hulu, because it was on NBC.
Right. I'll have to have a look for it. I'm sure it'll be somewhere on the internet.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's interesting. Actually, on the topic of Eddie Izzard, there is now. I'm going to need to look this up so that I know I'm giving the actual facts here. But as Eddie Izzard is in the newest incarnation of Treasure Island, did you hear about this?
Yes. No, I saw it.
You did?
I saw it. Yeah, it was a 3-hour. Miniseries. Also, what's his name? Frodo Baggins is in it too.
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. Yes, he's.
Have you seen the trailer for Elijah Wood's new horror movie?
No, I haven't.
He is playing the main serial killer in the remake of Maniac. When I first heard that Maniac was being remade, being a bit of a horror film traditionalist, I was absolutely furious at the idea, but it's actually looking really different. It looks completely different from anything I imagined. It looks like it's going to be a unique piece of art on its own in the realm of horror. And the interesting thing about this is that apparently the entire film is told through the eyes of the main character. So literally through the eyes. So the camera are his eyes. It's first person all the way through. And so the only times you see Elijah Wood are when he's looking in the mirror or he's taking a photo of himself.
Oh, interesting.
It's going to be... It looks absolutely superb. So let me see when that is. It came out at the Cannes Film Festival this year in May. But I do not see a release date for the actual movie itself, but yeah, that would be a very interesting film to look out for. I think it would be a unique entry into the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
That would be worth checking out.
Wow. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yep, absolutely. So we're on the topic of movies, and the music selection this week that I've chosen is actually related to the movies. You might remember right here on the Geeks of Doom Roundup, we covered a trailer for an episode called A History of Time to Come. Now, this was a documentary, and it's a story of, or the history of thrash metal in the United Kingdom by Josh Callis-Smith. And Obi Dan at geeksofdoom.com was the first one that gave us the heads up on this particular movie. I still haven't seen it yet. I am looking forward to seeing it. But just recently, Obi Dan interviewed the filmmaker, Josh Callis-Smith, at geeksofdoom.com. And it's a really good interview, very insightful. And so I thought, well, why not for Geeks of Doom Roundup this week, that we play a bit of the music which Obi Dan and Josh Callis-Smith are talking about. So the movie's called A History of a Time to Come. So it's actually based on an album by a UK thrash band called Sabbat, and Sabbat
are they devotional Jewish, perhaps klezmer, maybe?
No, they're fucking heavy metal, man.
Oh, wait, hold the phone, Greg Davies. You're playing us a heavy metal song for our selection.
Yeah, I'm breaking the mold.
Wow.
So, yes, this is a UK thrash metal band called Sabbath. The album, A History of Time to Come, is what the movie title is based on. And this is a song from that same album. This is truly metal up your ass. It's a song called A Cautionary Tale.
So no klezmer in this?
What?
No klezmer in this.
What are you talking about?
A cautionary tale. All right, let's roll it.
I think my brain has turned to mush.
I really appreciated the sensitivity of Yitzhak Perlman's solo there. In that.
So there you go. That's Sabbath, and very important band in the UK thrash scene, without a doubt. And so Metalheads, if you haven't seen the movie A History of Time to Come, it looks like a documentary that would be worth checking out, because I think it shows, I think it pays a lot of respect to the scene that came out of the UK over the years. So there you go. We'll have the links to the interview that Obi-Dan did and to the trailer for the movie in the show notes as well. Right. Moving right along, though, to another movie. This is a really movie-heavy episode of the Roundup this week. You have got a sneak peek, I guess you could say, into the new Star Trek sequel.
Yes, yes. Very excited about this. You know, since J.J. Abrams rebooted Star Trek, I think he's really, you know, done something that no one else, he's revitalized the movie series in a way that I don't think anyone else had been able to do since they were kind of locked into to one of the previous series casts. I think he did a great job of basically jettisoning any series regular and making it like a movie series. Jettisoning any TV series regular and making it a movie series in and of itself. ever since the successful first movie in that new series and that new reboot, everyone had been speculating as to what the plot would be of the new sequel called Star Trek Into Darkness. And the official synopsis has come out this week. And here it is. And this comes from Badass's article on Geeks of Doom. In summer 2013, pioneering director J.J. Abrams would deliver an explosive action thriller that takes Star Trek into darkness. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left, his crew. Now, there has been a lot of speculation up until now that the villain of this movie was going to be Khan Noonien Singh, who was portrayed by Ricardo Montalban in Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan. And
not happening.
What's that?
Not happening. No way in the world.
Well, it doesn't appear. There's no mention whatsoever of Khan here. There's still speculation that the villain of this movie will be played by Sherlock lead Benedict Cumberbatch, who has just the best name in the world to say. But there's no mention whatsoever or hint that his character is going to be Khan. And it doesn't sound like it is, because they say an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization, which I assume is they mean Starfleet. And Khan was not a part of Starfleet. So unless he, for some reason, is a part of Starfleet in this alternate universe Star Trek that J.J. Abrams has cooked up. But I don't think so.
Second or third episode of the original series, there's a character called Gary Mitchell, and he is zapped by the galactic barrier. This is in the wiki. People will
Gary
remember
Mitchell.
This episode. Turns
sure.
his eyes glowing silver and grants him enhanced ESP powers. And as he grows stronger, he becomes a danger to the ship and the crew, and Kirk is forced to maroon him on the planet Delta Vega.
That's
Mitchell
right.
Mitchell doesn't go quietly, however, and Kirk is forced to kill him on the planet's surface. That is in the episode called Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Sure, Gary Mitchell. And then he seduces a member of the crew who is played by Sally Kellerman. I remember that episode vividly. It's a great episode.
I think that is who Benedict Cumberbatch is playing.
Okay, well, you know,
In Star Trek Into Darkness, because And I think there's this particular movie, and my prediction is, yeah, if you've seen any of the set photos of some of the Starfleet outfits, not on the ship, but outside of the ship, like on the ground in, on Earth and all that, there's a very darker brownish, maroonish, almost Soviet look to the design. And I'm getting the feeling that as opposed to Gary Mitchell wanting to be a god in that original story with the changed timeline, mm-hmm, I think he's going to look to take over Starfleet into being some form of evil dictatorship, if you will,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
molded into his own ideals, if you will. So that's what I'm thinking. That's my guess. That's my speculation. I haven't read any of the spoilers online, so but I'm speculating that the Starship Enterprise literally has to become an enemy force of the Federation.
Wow.
And I think this is going to be very... This is not going to end happy. I don't think this is going to have a happy ending at all. I think it's going to lead directly into a third film. It's going to... I think it's going to have a few revelations in there as well that might surprise a few fans.
Hmm. Well, you know, you have had some pretty good hunches before about other films, so... I'm gonna roll with it. I'm gonna say that you could be very well be right.
I like being able to try and figure that stuff out in a logical fashion rather than relying on all the spoilers on their own. Uh-huh. I had a bullseye with Prometheus when everyone was guessing, sure, what that was about, and I was very fortunate enough to have that one right. And I think I'm pretty close to the mark with this one. I'm fairly confident.
There's a couple. I'm not gonna dispute you right off the bat, but. I will say one thing is one thing that might counter your hunch here is that in that episode where to boldly go, what was it? Where no man has gone before,
right?
The, Gary Mitchell attacked people via telekinesis with his mind, and a lot of the set photos that I'm looking at, I see solidly physical confrontations with the Benedict Cumberbatch character, and if he were Gary Mitchell, he would not need to use physical powers in order to fight.
Right. I don't think it's going to be an exact copy of the it's not going to be an exact remake of Where No Man Has Gone Before, but I think there's going to be parallels to it,
mm-hmm,
that tie it to the original series. We need to remember that this is a new timeline now, so the events are going to unfold in a completely different fashion. And this particular episode focusing on Gary Mitchell, it could well be that he is perhaps destined to experience some kind of superpower ability in whatever incarnation of the Star Trek universe. For example, there's been rumors about Khan Noonien Singh. It could well be that he is subject to the genetic manipulations from the eugenics wars. You know, it's very open at this point, you know, because we've only got a synopsis. But the thing that really gives it away to me is that there's one phrase in this synopsis that says they need to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction.
Interesting. Well, that would certainly, I mean, yes,
nicely to the concept of a Gary Mitchell.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see.
So Greg, what have you got? What Geeks of Doom story have you dug up for us?
Back to Brian Singer.
Back to Brian.
This is something I'm actually really excited about. Can you believe, Andy, that I still have not seen X-Men First Class?
I cannot believe it. That's an excellent movie.
I need to add that to the top of my queue.
Yeah.
Thinking about that. But there's a really interesting movie that's coming out, and it is the sequel to X-Men First Class. And it's going to have the original cast from First Class, mm-hmm, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and so on. But everybody whipped their heads around the other day with the news that Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen had been cast, because they were the original Professor X and Magneto.
That's right.
The original X-Men movie. And now there's word that Hugh Jackman, while he's filming his new X-Men movie, The Wolverine, there's word that he is in talks to return as Wolverine in the new sequel to First Class called X-Men Days of Future Past, which I'm highly excited about because I believe it is based on the actual comic adventure called Days of Future Past. And Days of Future Past is this timey-wimey adventure involving the mutants with alternate futures and all kinds of things. It's a wonderful series. There's been different iterations of it through the years, both in the animated series and other formats. But the key thing for me is that the first cover of the Days of Future Past is a classic comic book cover, which I am hoping that Bryan Singer actually uses as a template for some of the marketing posters for this movie. And the poster, mm-hmm. or the cover of the comic, is a picture of a brick wall that's got this large poster adorning it with a picture of all the known X-Men that you know and love, with big X marks through their faces saying killed or captured or arrested or, you know, mutilated or whatever's happened to them. And there's a picture of Wolverine protecting Kitty Pryde in front of this poster as some sentinel or whatever has found him, and he's got his claws out ready to go. He's ready to pounce. It is an iconic comic book cover, very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is possibly going to be the most successful X-Men movie to be released, not just because of the content,
really,
because Bryan Singer is finally returning to the series.
Well, I have to say Matthew Vaughn didn't do such a bad job with X-Men First Class.
Oh, he didn't? No, he's, Matthew Vaughn, isn't he up for...
Well, that's the rumor.
he's up for Star Wars Episode 7, apparently.
That's the scuttlebutt. People are talking about that, that he may be... up for one of the Star Wars films, so we're not. It hasn't been confirmed.
It's almost
yet.
A little bit of history repeating itself, because you remember Bryan Singer had to step away from X-Men because he had a better offer. He had Superman Returns, which a lot of people will scoff at that because, you know, some people didn't enjoy that movie. I happen to love it. I thought it was a brilliant movie, but in this case, it could well be right. Matthew Vaughn is having to step away for a better offer. In this case, Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. So,
or, you know, I could be just getting my hopes up, and it might be just more realistically. He's tied up with Kick-Ass 2. Isn't he? He directed Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, didn't he?
I think he is set to direct Kick-Ass 2, which is going to be focusing more on Hit Girl. In fact, the comics, although the movie may be called Kick-Ass 2, the comics sequel are just called Hit Girl.
I thought they were called Kick-Ass 2.
No, it's... it's Hit Girl, fairly certain.
Anyway, that was my story. It was an article from Bobby Morgan, otherwise known as Badass, over at geeksofdoom.com. And we'll have the links to these articles for you to check out in the show notes just under this podcast on our Geeks of Doom page. So, onto the podcast. Sandy, what have you guys been up to on the drill down?
Well, in the last episode of the Drill Down, we broke down Black Friday and Cyber Monday records, which sales broke records this year for both Black Friday, and then Cyber Monday came by and broke that Black Friday's records, sales records. So it was just a boom, 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 one after another. Instagram Thanksgiving was a record breaking holiday for Instagram as well. They broke records on photos shared. We talked about Windows Surface, and Windows 8 had Steven Sinofsky being asked to leave Microsoft in the wake of the successful launch of both of those products and what that possibly means for the company. And we talk about Apple firing their Apple Maps manager and Apple patenting the virtual page turn. So now Apple officially owns the patent on the page turn. When you see it in any other product that is not an Apple product, they are potentially they're potentially violating Apple's patent. So we talked about Nintendo selling 400,000 units of the of all of their devices, including the Wii U, the brand new launch of the second trailer for Grand Theft Auto 5, which looks really exciting. And we finished it off with a hoax that was going around Facebook over the last couple of weeks, where people felt that they had to defend their right to the stuff that they post on Facebook with some boilerplate copy that they would copy and paste, which, when actually adding that, does nothing, because you've already agreed in the terms of use of Facebook of what you are and what you aren't allowed to do on Facebook.
Did you catch the latest Facebook hoax, by the way?
Which one?
There's a few of them, yeah, I know. Some dude held up a Photoshopped copy of his lottery ticket from the Powerball and said, I'm going to give $1 million to a random person who likes and shares this.
Yeah.
And thousands of people liked and shared it.
Somebody I know, a friend of a friend, shared that post. And added, you know, there's really a lot I could use, I could do with that that money. And I'm like, well, yeah, how often has that worked for you? Has sharing something gotten you money? And, you know, sharing an email or online post gotten you money back? Has that been working for you?
No, not very well. I shared it because I was like, I'm not sure if troll.
Right, exactly.
That's what I said, not sure of troll. And then, of course, it came out that he was a troll. Yes. And that was just, I had to tip my hat to the guy. That was really well played. Really well played from a troll perspective. So,
Coming up on the next episode of The Drill Down, we're going to be talking about iTunes 11, the latest version of iTunes, Syria disconnecting itself from the internet. We're going to be talking about Apple starting to sell unlocked iPhone 5s, the final price of the Microsoft Surface Pro, and some new iMacs are being assembled in the U.S. That's right, not made in China anymore. Certain iMacs are being built here in the good old U.S. of A. What about you, Greg? What have you been going getting yourself down to on Social Blend?
This most recent episode of Social Blend that we posted was titled Spiral Blend, and it really was a dive into tinfoil hat territory this week. It was very there was a lot of like weird kind of conspiracy-esque stuff that we were talking about, which was odd for us. You know, we don't usually delve too far into that. But I'm going to send you a picture in the chat here, Andy, so that you can see what we were talking about. One of the focus articles that we discussed was this weird anomaly that showed up on a weather radar above Mexico several weeks ago. And this thing is very strange. It is a perfect spiraling circular formation over Mexico. And it's the radar, it depicts it as a storm-like event consisting of all the reds and oranges and greens and so on. And when I first came across this, I was like, this is weird. This is going to be some kind of like radar glitch or some kind of anomaly that can be explained with computer problems or conflicts, or, you know, maybe, you know, the radar was down for maintenance and they forgot to do something and that results in that kind of pattern on there. What's going on? And so I did a bit of research into it, and surprisingly, I could find no answers whatsoever for this kind of phenomenon. The only example I could find was in an article from Australia, from the interview with the Bureau of Meteorology, that had similar patterns, mysterious patterns, show up on their radars in numerous places across Australia. And there is an ongoing theory that this is a result of the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, otherwise known as HARP. And there's a lot of conspiracy theorists jumping around with HARP. It's believed that what they do is they shoot high frequency bursts, radar bursts, into the upper atmosphere to see what happens after particles of the ionosphere are temporarily excited. And so it seems that the speculation at the moment is that when they shoot off HARP somewhere in the world, there's a radar anomaly that pops up. But still, there's no explanation for this. So I'm reaching out to anyone who hears this. What the hell is that? We talked about that on Social Bling. We also talked about the strange occurrence of the explosion in Indiana, which has now turned into a criminal investigation, where it basically obliterated a home in Indiana, and all 30-odd homes that surrounded the explosion are going to have to be demolished because of the damage from what it is. The authorities tried to originally put this down to be a gas explosion, but it doesn't look like a gas explosion. And after consulting with a military expert who did crater analysis in Iraq and Afghanistan, he came to the conclusion that the only type of incendiary that would have caused that kind of explosion would have been a missile or a drone missile. And so we're kind of speculating on what that means, and obviously, you know, where that could go from there. And the only options that we could choose was that it was a deliberate government hit on someone, which is the most unlikely. The other more likely is that this is a drone that was either belongs to or has been hijacked by a foreign power, and they're just doing a random hit. But the most likely explanation, we think, is that something went wrong with the drone. A mistake happened, and the authorities are scrambling to make up a feasible explanation to cover that up, because you know they're not going to come clean on anything like that. So that were the two main things that we focused on in Social Bling. Oh, and the other thing as well, we've been focusing on the media frenzy associated with the end of the world, December 21st. And finally, it's come to bear fruit with several articles from Fox News, Fox News Latino, and Huffington Post, sensationalizing the whole Mayan prophecy thing. The article directly from Fox News is simply titled Mayan Apocalypse Countdown, 1 month till doom.
But we misread their calendar. That we have,
I know.
There have been scientists who've come out. And,
I know. The world's not going to end. What we're focusing on is exposing the media for, you know, the bunch of sensationalist assholes they really are. This is just the meme that they're going to be running with, and we're going to be inundated with this kind of crap over the next few weeks. NPR isn't immune to it either. Apparently, they had a radio show where people were calling in about 2012, and they had people asking questions like, when I commit suicide, should I kill my kids first?
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is it's the kind of thing that sensationalizes things. It freaks people out, and, it calls off in an almost Darwin Award-like fashion some of the people that get suckered into this stuff. So,
and just for the record, you should kill yourself first and then your kids. That's the order it should happen in.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, what? So that was Social Blend last week. A little bit crackpot, a little bit offbeat, but that's what we do best. And so that's worth checking out. We'll have some follow-ups on this coming episode of Social Blend. But I want to zone in on the UK this week, Andy. They've just released a major report over in the UK called the Leveson Report. which isn't getting enough coverage over here in the United States, but it's causing a lot of controversy over there. This is a report that follows up on the heat on the heels of the cell phone hacking scandal, and it focuses specifically on press abuses in the United Kingdom. And so now it's opened up a whole can of worms relating to the role of the press in the United Kingdom and freedom of speech. And so we're going to be jumping into that a little bit on Social Blend this week coming. And that's all I can really talk about at this point, because, you know, it's like with the drill down, we kind of wait and see if there's anything big that happens between now and then. But we'll most definitely be looking at the Leveson report for sure.
All right. And where can people find Social Blend?
Social Blend can be found at social-blend.com. You can find us on iTunes. We have a little subreddit, and we're also on the Facebookeries and the Tweeters. Also, on a side note, just to remind people, Social Blend will be closing down at the end of the year. And we're moving on to a new podcast project in 2013 called Blend Over. And we'll have more news on that as time progresses.
I just got it.
So, and what were the drill down, mate?
The drill down is going to be every Friday on here on Geeks of Doom. We record on Wednesday evenings, and we release the MP3 on Fridays in time for your drive time. And just to look for us on geeksofdoom.com or go to iTunes and subscribe to us on just look up the drill down and subscribe to us there, or Stitcher. Stitcher is actually a fantastic service, and we've gotten a huge bump of traffic from Stitcher alone, and we thank them for their listeners' participation. So there you go. That's the drill down and Social Blend, and is that everything?
I think that's everything. What do you think we should do for our last Geeks of Doom roundup?
It's going to be very sad.
Do something special?
I don't know. I mean, it's, we have to come up with something. I don't know. Either we come up with something, you know, very sort of sentimental and touching, or we completely burn the bridges.
Well, we could do that, or we could go back and have a look at the first ever roundup.
Oh God, that would be likely to be quite awkward. But yeah, we could certainly do that.
We can have a look at what we did for that. I can't even remember what we did for our first episode, so it'd be pretty fun.
You're
so,
talking about anyway, not the first Geeks of Doom roundup, but the first,
the very first roundup.
Wow,
that's going back a few years. So, alrighty, well, that's it. We'll be back again next week for another edition of the Geeks of Doom Roundup right here at geeksofdoom.com. We hope that you would join us, and we do appreciate the time you take listening to us here on the in the world of the podcasts. We'll catch you next week for another edition. Thank you very much again, and until next time,
Dilly Gaff. Dilly Gaff.